while we hold the shore's one kiss by the mist tenderly. Ba-ba-dee-dee. I can't forget our two hearts beat tenderly. Ba-ba-da-da, your arms open wide and close me inside.
Welcome to the Sunday, July 17, 2016 edition of Waking Up, Freeing Ourselves from Work. Now, it's interesting that for Plato and for most Platonists, an altruistic individualism cannot exist. According to Plato, the only alternative to collectivism is egoism. He simply identifies all altruism with collectivism and all individualism with egoism. This is not a matter of terminology, of mere words, for instead of four possibilities, Plato recognized only two. This has created considerable confusion in speculation on ethical matters, even down to our own day, and that's Karl Popper speaking from The Open Society and Its Enemies, The Spell of Plato, that's volume one. Sisters and brothers, I posted excerpts from our November 10, 2013 show to help frame today's discussion. They reinforce several of the points we're making. They lend support to our claim that a future premised on abundance and non-coercion must be sustained structurally by the individual being the basic unit of political organization. And that's, in a sense, very dense, compact statement of what we're going to be exploring in upcoming shows. What would that structure, that framework, have to be for the individual to be based in self-sufficiency and to therefore be the basic unit of political organization. And I have political in quotes because we don't have our people's lexicon yet. And the way I defined politics in the book, Waking Up, Freeing Ourselves from Work, is the ability to compel human energy, and since that's not happening in our future, I don't have a word to express what we normally think of as the decision-making process that affects all of us. So I just put politics in quotes. So that's one aspect or element issue from our November 10 show that is going to help us get clear on what we're discussing today. Also, these excerpts reinforce that closing the understanding of what is happening gap, the understanding of the true forces shaping our world, that ending that disproportion between those who've seized decision-making as their exclusive prerogative and the rest of us is key to our gaining our freedom. This show did in the direction of authentic leadership, because we've been asking that question as well. What does it mean for the individual to step up and, in a sense, be responsible for the whole world? How would that happen? And therefore, what should our true selves, as we regain them, focus in order to move us to our freedom? And they confirm that the pundits for power, are there any other kind, keep power's core messages at the forefronts of their minds. They reinforce false divisions. They reinforce a closed sense of tribalism. They encourage youth to embrace patriotism, a collectivist altruism. And they will continue to bemoan, as we've seen daily, the violence in us, quote unquote, never suggesting that the state is the source of it, and will provide examples continuously that the global class system is a legitimate hierarchy, a meritocracy, that it expresses natural, not produced by artifice, divisions. And they will help keep the cattle herded in the nation box and within narrow identities, tribes, that pits one against the other, and will provide these pundits support to the children being bred or brought to the state's uses. A shadow surveillance state requires shadow surveillance troops, we said. And the November 10, 2013 show also stressed that the reality around us they are trying to entrench fast is a vicious global totalitarianism, and that the only way to end it is with consciousness of it. So please listen to those excerpts that I posted from the archives on the audio pages that hold this show's audio. These files tell us, among other things, that an individualist can, at the same time, be an altruist. And this is important discussion that Karl Popper pointed us to a good half century or more ago. And we've yet to have this discussion as a people. It definitely bears on our discussions of what it means to pursue happiness, which we need to get moving on before they somehow find a way to trump that little advantage we have called the right to pursue happiness. And that in the Platonic theory of the state that these hidden folks adhere to, quoting Popper, quote, the state itself can never be wrong in any of its actions as long as it is strong. That the state has the right not only to do violence to its citizens, should that lead to an increase of strength, but also to attack other states, provided it does so without weakening itself. And they discuss that the goal of the best state can't run on nothing. And to achieve it, these guys must amass means, which once we see that, everything falls into place, all the previously seemingly confusing moves of power, the inexplicable sinking of the economy. And it is in this context that their ATM, all the money strategy, which is also their ATM card, by the way, that capacity of creating disasters and then funding the relief, the repair work, must be viewed. And this we discussed in our March 13, 2016 show, which, and as well in the excerpt from that show called Crafted Smallness, that the pattern of obedience, this show of 2.5 years ago discussed, that the pattern of obedience inculcated by the parent transfers easily over to the boss and the state, and that this pattern requires a lot of coercion, which leads us with a lot of rage. Yes, We all have rage, we who are born into class. Do we know where it comes from? Do we ever hear authentic discussion of it? Do we know how easy it is for powers agents to manipulate it, manipulate us? Agents trained to do so provoke someone full of unconscious rage to violence. Rage produced by the omnipresent coercion of the global class system. Let's listen for a moment to two propagandists for power. They are propagandists for power because they, and I believe with intent, widen the gap in the understanding of what is happening, the true forces shaping the global class system, the gap between we the people and those who have usurped decision-making for all of us, the global state statesmen. We cannot close this understanding gap by being narrow tribalists. And it's really hard to know the extent of true opinion out there. As we know, the media is the propaganda arm of the global state. And we'll talk about that in more detail, but because by that I don't mean that they only present perspectives from of the neoliberal or ultra-right bent, by any means. No, it's across the left, center, right spectrum, political spectrum. That's the point. In a totalitarianism, everything must reflect back to the system is all there is, which is why the left version of this is no more help to us getting free than the right. Quote from a columnist we're going to be looking at for a minute. The problem is, you don't want to know anything different from what you think you know. Your knowledge of Black life, of the hardships we face, yes, those we sometimes create, those we most often endure, don't concern you much. Whiteness is blindness. It's the wish not to see what it will not know. If you don't know us, you also refuse to hear us because you do not believe what we say. You hold an entire population of Muslims, and I have to comment, who is this you? Zora used to say, oh, my people. Proudhon used to say, oh, proletaire, proletaire. My bet is they were both looking at behavior provoked by such as this, agents, conscious or unconscious. Continuing, you hold an entire population of Muslims accountable for the evil acts of a few. You cannot know how we secretly curse the cowardice of whites who know what I write is true, but dare not say it. My interjection, whoever they are, while you celebrate, I suppose, the paid agents pretend fascists who exuberantly express hate openly and loudly, I guess they're supposedly honest and not cowardly. You, continuing, you do not know that after we, and obviously I have a question about who that we is as well, you do not know that after we get angry with you, we get even angry. You see what I mean about how we cannot know how, what true opinion is out there. Because we are told what to think by the punditry for power. That's why they exist. And it works, which is why they do it. It actually sculpts and crafts opinion. So until we are able to have our own discussions of these issues and see from a broader and a higher vantage, we're sort of stuck in the echo chamber of power and in the panopticon cell where we just listen to this piped in propaganda, but we can't hear each other. We can't talk to each other. Continuing. You don't know that after we get angry with you, we get even angrier with ourselves because we don't know how to make you stop. Where's the state in this? Right? Continuing, I'm sorry. Most of us keep our rage inside. We're afraid that when the tears begin to flow, we cannot stop them. Instead, we damage our bodies with high blood pressure. No, sweetie, that's them targeting us with EMF. High blood pressure sicken our souls with depression. We cannot hate you, not really, not most of us. That is our gift to you. We cannot halt you. That is our curse. How to unquote, how to begin to unpack this? It is so thick with power's business, so full of misdirection, it's hard to engage with. It's hard to engage with because, as with the columnist that we're going to discuss in a second, I doubt very much that it's honest, that he's honest. It's possible, I suppose. We all have our blind spots. For instance, later on in the show, Proudhon will say, quote, between woman and man, there may exist love, passion, ties of custom and the like, but there is no real society. Man and woman are not companions. The difference of the sexes places a barrier between them, unquote. And we answered him that he should revisit his own concept of association and its expansion with experience, to which we should add, for those who are honest, with new information.